So, the first of our hopefully long guest lineup is here with us today, Damien Ward.
Hello
He's
there.
a Macintosh collector and restorer.
That's me.
Welcome to the show, Damien.
Hi, and thank you very much for inviting me.
Yeah, this is fun.
You're quite welcome. And Damien posts the photos of his the Macs that he's restoring and while he's restoring them on Flickr. And your account name is just
Damien
flickr.com slash
underscore.
photos just slash Damien Ward.
Damien underscore Ward.
Damien and
David, just a little interruption, but you've got some static or something. Damien, are you hearing that?
Oh, that like a buzz.
Yeah.
Oh, I know what that. Yeah, I think that won't come through on the recording because I'm speaking to a different mic. It's going through a whole
Okay.
different system. All right, well.
We were introducing Damien.
Oh
So
yeah, of course.
this is our second interview show.
Yep. The first one was, of course, with Splorp, Grant Hutchinson.
Right? A lot
And
of fun. And we must have not have been too terrible at it because someone else has decided to join us, so.
accepted our invitation.
Right.
So, how did you get interested in the Mac, Damien?
It was through work, really. I work in the print industry, and we started off before computers were really used in desktop publishing. So I was doing that, and then eventually we bought a computer, which happened to be a Mac, and just carried on from there, really. I just really enjoyed using it. That was probably back in about 93 or something like that, Quadra 950.
What made you become a collector?
Nostalgia, perhaps. and people started giving them to me.
Oh.
I wanted to get a couple of nice examples of the little compact Macs, and I ended up buying a couple, and they're in bad condition. And then I won an eBay auction, and I ended up with about 10 of them from that.
Oh.
And it just carried on from there, really.
Multiplied.
Yes.
Yeah, that seems to be a regular occurrence that once somebody finds out that you're like a classic computer collector, you become the landfill.
Yeah, a lot of people were going to dump them, and they basically got my name from, other people, and I just take them on. Though I'm running out of space now.
There's a great photo you published recently on Flickr of your car boot just full of old Macs that somebody's cleared out and just presumably given to you.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that was an Apple dealer who was he had a load in his garage and in his back room in his shop, and yeah, basically had no use for them anymore. So yeah, I came along and swept them up, and a week later I went back for a load more parts, power supplies and RAM and stuff like that.
Because that's the thing. I mean, you can't just let these things be thrown away or anything. You have to save them.
Well, that's right, yeah. I mean, things like power supplies are probably they're a real weak component in the Mac, so.
If you combine the entire listenership of the Hello Show, you could probably end up with a pretty impressive museum.
Yeah.
That's great.
So something, so the other thing you do with your Macs is you don't just collect them, you also restore them and you try and get them really to as new condition. I mean, I've seen some of them and they really do look like they've just come out of the box.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I mean, that's the ultimate goal to make them, look as new as possible. And yeah, they get yellowed by the sun, and I try and restore them back with the retro bright gel.
Well, so you have these and you clean them up and make them pretty again, but what do you do to get them running again, or do you even try?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not that good at electronics, but sometimes I can solder a little bit. But you know, if it's really bad, you know, I've got spare parts, so I can swap boards and stuff like that. So that's probably the easiest way to do it. But it's, right. It tends to mainly be power supplies or hard disks which, you know, fail, so they tend to be fairly easy to replace.
Right. Yeah, I know there. I've run into a few sticking issues where the hard drive becomes stuck or it doesn't spin as well anymore.
Mm.
So, especially with the older ones, they you know, so they just they haven't moved in so long that they get stuck.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you can...
The unreliable part of the computer.
That's right.
Why they're being replaced by solid-state drives.
Absolutely.
Okay, so once you've restored these Macs, what do you do with them? Do you use them, or...?
Yeah, I mean, some of them I do use. I don't use all of them, but, yeah, I have my favourites. There's probably, say, 10 that are in regular use, really. Mm-hmm. A little bit of sort of retro gaming. I work in print, so you know, using the older versions of, say, Photoshop or Quark Express, just to have a play around with it, just to see how it was, you know, things like that.
See how far we've come.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, Macworld seems to be treating Quark as though it's current software. They're having a I think their giveaway for the letters page at the moment is a copy of Quark Express. And they had a guide on how to use it for web design in last month's issue here. I don't pick up Macworld regularly, but you know, it's a bit of a disappointment when I do and that shows up in there.
Yeah, I mainly use InDesign now. Yeah, it seems to be a lot... Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember when my newspaper office switched from Quark to InDesign. We found that it just crashed less often. It was a little easier to use. Mm-hmm. So, and I haven't looked back. I haven't used Quark in 9 years. Yeah. I don't think.
And if you look at what it does typographically as well, it is far superior. Like Quark, just an example. Quark uses. It's called a brute force line break algorithm, but basically what it is when it wants to put a line break in it, it just fits the maximum number of words that it can on the line, and then it puts a line break in. InDesign uses a different algorithm, which is far superior. It's Splot mentioned it on Twitter a while ago because somebody had done an implementation in Canvas of the same...
Hmm.
HTML canvas. So it is really, really a quality app from a typographic point of view. That said, its interface is still, you know, it's like any Adobe app, it's sort of half Windows, half Macintosh, and it's
not very pretty in either.
No.
Yeah. Damien, what's been your favorite find? What did somebody give you that you've really been that you've either enjoyed or it's been a favorite Mac or something?
Well, I recently bought a Quadra 950 off another guy called Mark Johnson, who's a friend through Flickr and the Retro Maccaster forums as well. Mm-hmm. And as that was the first one I ever used, it was one I was searching for, so that's probably one of my favourites.
The best Mac ever is the first one you owned.
Yeah. I mean, I have a few favourites, but that's probably my favourite one.
Mm.
Okay.
And you also have, and I'm very envious of you for this, you also have a 128 Macintosh.
Yes, I do.
How did that come about?
That was an eBay purchase. I bought that with a 512K as well, and that was about £40. £40.
Oh wow, that's.
It was listed as a Macintosh with a K, so I think most people missed it.
I know several people who do, you know, they search for common misspellings of these things, and they come their way with absolute bargains.
Yeah. I mean, I had to drive a couple of hours to get it, but it was worth it.
Definitely. Yeah. And it worked?
What was that?
It worked.
It worked okay?
Yeah, it works fine, yeah. It works a charm, yeah.
Wow.
That's great.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing that, you know, no matter what your hobby is, and for us it's classic Macs and old Apple stuff, but, man, you go on, you know, like Flickr, and you just find so many people that are just as weird as you are.
That's right.
It's a common observation about
it's
things,
a it's yeah. a great feeling.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah, it's a great feeling.
We're not alone.
There was another two on eBay a while ago that I was maybe looking into getting, which had almost no bids because somebody put Apple II with an Arabic numeral 2 instead of But in the end, it slipped past me. And that was
yeah, they
that,
still go for
when else I tweeted wise. It, I was thinking of trying to write a web server in BASIC on it. That was the machine I was thinking of getting.
The Apple IIs still go for good money, don't they? They're still very popular.
But there's a lot of them just hanging out in people's basements or at school, you know, storage rooms and things like that, because it was such a popular computer that it's everywhere.
Yeah. And all the clothes.
I had somebody drop off one. Yeah, I had somebody drop off one at an e-waste drive. You know, it's been sitting in his attic forever, and he still had all the software, and it fired right up. It was amazing.
It was for you.
Right. I wonder if it'll be that way someday with like iPod Nanos, you know, where people are going to find them in their drawers.
Yeah. I can imagine that, actually.
Or the Mac itself. With the new iPad. Yeah. They're saying it's the...
I keep saying that, you know...
Because the Apple II was so popular.
We're going to be like... The people who use Macs are going to be like the people who used Apple IIs.
Exactly. They held on for a long time, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, there was that one school district that was using them until, you know, the mid-90s or whatever, and they just wouldn't let them go.
Mm.
Well, how about storage for all your stuff, Damien? How do you handle that?
What, storage of the machines or the data?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where do you put all this stuff?
Yeah. I'm running out of space. A large amount are in my loft. There's a few in my study and there's a few in my garage. but the majority are in my loft.
So anywhere there's an empty spot.
Yeah. I mean, I have been talking to David.
That's the other thing I've been...
I've been talking to David because, you know, he may want some of them if I get rid of some. So I've got a few doubles. So.
Yeah, yeah.
He's always...
Lighten your load.
Already asked me.
What kind of Mac stuff do you use at your job, Damien? What kind of Macs and software and stuff?
So I use two Macs. I've got a MacBook Pro 17-inch and a Mac Pro. The Mac Pro is the older of the two, so that was probably one of the original Mac Pros. So, using the Kuwaiti Suite, Quark still, and a PDF workflow from Agfa.
And you say you say it was one of the original Mac Pros. It's tempting to look upon that as an older machine, but really...
Since,
you know, the switch to Intel, really, computers have stopped getting faster.
Yes, that's right, yeah, just add more cores now, don't they?
Yeah. And make the...
Yeah, that was what, late 2005 or 2006, something like that?
Was when they completed the channel.
Yeah.
That sounds right.
I started in January, finished it in WWDC.
But you know, I had a 5-year-old G4 before I switched to Intel. You know, I bought mine in 2005, and I didn't switch till, you know, this past winter. So
yeah,
that'll still do you good.
Yeah, I mean, in another department, we're still using the G5.
It's not going to age very well.
Yes.
Yeah. Much better than even the, you know, the old PowerPC, which, you know, famously Macs do tend to last longer than PCs.
That's correct.
How about the MacBook Pro, Damien? Which model is that?
It's
the unibody or the...
It's a unibody, yeah. Late 2009, I think.
Oh, so
from
it's
memory.
One of the last, one of
yeah,
the
it's
one
it's, it's relatively new.
Those are gorgeous machines.
They
just
are.
I've never seen such quality build quality. You know, it's just beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lovely screen as well.
I think Apple's really done with the unibody. Just the build quality of them. It's just superb. Oh yeah, do you have the glossy one or the...
It is a glossy one, so you do get some reflections, but... Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seriously... Other than my iPhone, I don't think I've used a glossy display. Like, seriously.
Yeah, you can get some reflections, which is the only downside, but it gives you a nice, sharp, bright image.
Yeah, I've got the unibody 15-inch, and it's got a glossy screen. And I find that the screen is just so bright that I hardly ever have issues with glare or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So, I've heard stories about that, but I've never experienced it myself.
That's right, yeah, a lot of people do complain about it, don't they? But
well, that's why
they
added the matte option for, what is it, 50 bucks extra, you can get a matte option.
That's right.
Right. What makes the Macintosh for you, Damien? What made it so that, you know, you wanted to take this on as a hobby and that made you fall in love with it?
That's a good question. I mean, I've never really used anything else. I mean, even through school, I wasn't using computers, so I didn't really have a lot of interest in them. It wasn't until I, you know, got on the Mac and, I don't know, just some of its sort of quirks, you know, just... Because it was a bit quirky going back then, you know. It was just so inviting, really, and, you know, I just got hooked, really.
The Mac is inviting. I read it on Low-End Mac. They have the... Is it called My First Mac or How I something like that?
Mm-hmm.
And one guy was
There's special column.
One guy was saying that the whole reason he had been a complete, you know, technophobe. He hated computers, and then one day somebody rebooted a Mac while he was watching, and he just saw the happy Mac, and he was enchanted.
That was enough.
Yeah. How bad can it be if it's every morning?
Right. But it seems like we can all agree that there's some kind of hook that, you know, my first Mac was a brand new Mac. But for some reason, I just felt like this compulsion to say, man, I want to get some older machines and I want to play around with them and I want to... You know, collect the older machines and see what I can do with them. Like, what the heck makes you do that?
Have an interest in this older hardware. If you read the usesthis.com, the site called The Setup, then a surprising number of people either have or want this older hardware.
And nobody, you know, nobody collects old Packard Bell or old Compaq computers. Mm. You know, nobody collects those. But it seems to be unique among, and there's a few other computers like the Amiga that people seem to latch onto. But there's something about the Mac that it gets the hooks in you.
Someday we need to do an episode on the Amiga, because that's not entirely related to the Mac. But yeah, it would be interesting to do talk about it. But yeah, I see where you're coming from.
Because, I mean, Damien, it couldn't have been that people just dumped their old Macs on you. I mean, you had to want to get them, and you had to want to keep collecting them, right?
That's right, yeah. So you know, I, first of all, I was buying them quite actively, and I would speak to the people that I bought them from, and then... I don't know, the word just gets around. Oh, I know someone else with one, and it just went from there. I mean, I've answered a few things online, like we have FreeCycle here, and so I've had some leads from there, and I don't know, the word just gets around, really. I mean, the boot for the Macs that you mentioned earlier, I bought an SE30 from the guy about 2 years ago. And I was speaking to him, saying, "Oh, I'm interested in collecting and stuff like that." And obviously, 2 years later, he thought to me and he said, "Well, I'm clearing it all out now. Do you want it?" Basically, so it was just a lead from that, really.
Right. You kind of get a network going of people that you know and that know you.
Build connections.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And they all need medication, so. Is there anything missing in your collection, Damien? Is there anything you'd like to get your hands on?
Yeah, there's a few, yeah. I'd quite like a portable or a luggable.
there was one being given away on Newton Talk a while ago.
I was there, yeah?
Yeah. Well, I think it went to Splop in the end.
All right, yeah. Yeah.
Of course.
there's a TAM as well, or a 21st anniversary Mac.
I saw one of those.
They always go for too much money. Yeah, they always go for too much money, though. I can't really justify that much amount of money.
For 20th anniversary Macintosh with a K. Or,
with one N.
In anniversary.
But as for sort of case design, I think I'm pretty much there. I think I've probably got every case design there is. Oh, mind you, there's a 2SI. I haven't got that case design, but everything else I think I'm probably covered on.
Right. How about some of the newer stuff, like the G3s, G4s, stuff like that?
Yeah, I've got I've got the beige G3s, the desktop and the mini TAS. I've got some blue and white G3s. I've got a few iMacs. G4s, yeah, I've got the towers. I've got G4 iMac as well. I haven't got any Mac minis. They seem to retain their value as well.
Yeah, they do.
That's one I've been shopping for, because I wouldn't mind getting one of the first Intel ones, like the Core Solo or Core Duo or something like that. And man, it's almost like full price for them.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. Well, you look back at the G4 ones, and what you had was that the towers were the pro range, and the minis were the home end, and now the towers are virtually half the price. Yeah.
So basically, the only way they could differentiate it was by expandability.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, partly where the myth that still goes on today that Macs are less expandable.
Right, but you open up like we all know, you open up a Power Mac G4, and man, you can do just about anything with it.
Yeah.
I mean, I look back on mine was the first model of the Power Mac G4, but I opened up that, and it's like, I found a whole new world of Mac tinkering, because you could actually get inside it and replace the cards and the hard drives and stuff like that. It's not a pain in the butt like the iMacs were.
That's right, everything's so easy, just flaps down and it's all there, isn't it?
Right. And some of the pizza box Macs were like that too. They were, you know, very modular, where they were snap in and snap out.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't need any tools at all.
That was a lot of fun. Yeah.
Unlike today, where you need a Torx screwdriver just to change the battery.
Well, you've got a great collection, Damien. It's fun to go through all your photos and...
It is, yeah.
Are you a Newton guy at all? Do you have any Newtons?
Yeah, I've got one Newton. I've got an original message pad. That's the only one there.
Oh, cool.
You're big on Newton, aren't you?
Well, you could say that.
How many do you own?
Yeah. I kind of play around with them. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
How many have you got?
Einstein running today, incidentally.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that's the
noise. It's, you know, I got it running, too, on the Mac, and it's,
the
I mean, it's there, and you can do stuff with it.
I'm trying to handwrite with the mouse.
Right. That's why we need one of these touchscreen Macs that they're talking about. Mm.
You don't seriously think they're going to do one of those, do you think?
Well, maybe someday.
Yeah, I can't see how that would work, really.
Yeah.
It'd be quite strange being on a keyboard
it's
and then
very,
reaching up
very,
to your screen.
Yeah, it's very different when your input device is, instead of being able to pick out one pixel out of possibly 2 million on the screen, as opposed to having your input device being a, as Hockenberry puts it, a big honking finger, where you've got possibly an area of 40 or 50 pixels square.
But then you just do like they do on the iPad and make all the buttons bigger.
Hmm. Well, you might be able to do that if they get resolution independence.
Right.
I can't see how it would work being vertical. Do you understand me?
Yeah.
If your hands are flat on a desk and then you're reaching up, it's going to be really...
Damien, are you going to get an iPad? Are you an iPhone guy? Anything like that?
I'm an iPhone guy, yeah. iPad, I'm not too sure about yet. My sister's got one and I've been playing with that and, yeah, I really do like it, but... So now I just still can't work out if it's for me yet, really. I just can't see me using it that much.
Dave's having that problem too, and this is why people said, well, why is Apple going to make a tablet? These people won't be able to justify the purchase. It's just...
Right. But I'm thinking more and more that it's not aimed at people like me. Mm. You know, it's... Damien, how do you feel about that, about Apple moving more in this consumer electronics direction? As an old computer guy, a Mac guy.
Yeah, I mean, it's concerning for the platform, I guess. I mean, Steve Jobs is renowned for not looking back. You know, he's always looking forward, isn't he? So,
right.
You know, I don't think he would really be worried about, say that the Mac platform drops off, as long as there's something there to replace it, which is obviously concerning for me, because I don't want to be working a PC at work, really. Because at the end of the day, that's what I need to do.
A while ago, that Adobe was looking into InDesign for iPad.
Really? Right.
Well,
I didn't realize that.
I don't know if it's,
So is that actually sitting on
it,
or is that one of those web ones? Because they did Photoshop.com, didn't they, and stuff like that.
I actually used that to, if you look at the Scotland photos that I just posted on Flickr, I used that to edit some of those. The ones that I posted on Momentile were all edited with Photoshop Express.
But that's that's changing the whole photo. It's not like you can dig into it and
there's no way
airbrush it or anything
with Photoshop Express. It's completely
right.
Different. And it speaks. The name Photoshop Express speaks to how Adobe the Photoshop brand is kind of being overreaching. Because if it was.
Yeah, because even the original Lightroom was
Photoshop
Lightroom,
yeah.
Right?
It's almost as it like how everything on Windows is becoming Windows this, Windows that.
Right.
I suppose the average...
If you had Photoshop on the name... I'm sorry, Damien, go ahead.
I suppose the average user doesn't need like hundreds of filters and... To just clean up a photo and stuff like that. So the idea with some of these things
that's
is
true.
Not towards the pro end, it's more towards the home user.
Right. Yeah. Well, you add Photoshop in the name, and I just think it's expensive. So that's what Photoshop does for me.
I recommend it. Somebody who I know just got an iPhone, and they were asking me what apps they should get, and I said Photoshop. And they said, well, why would I want that on my iPhone? So I said, well, it's a photo editor. It edits your photos. And they were more familiar with Photoshop as being a graphic design tool. It's madness.
Hmm.
Okay. There you go. That's Adobe for you.
Right. I think we're all comfortable that if Apple does move away from the Macintosh, that we're going to have plenty of Macs to keep us occupied. We just won't have any new ones. Which isn't a problem either.
I'm definitely okay there.
Yeah, you're set. You're definitely set.
Okay. Might need to get a few more.
Yeah.
But I really feel like my new iMac that I got, you know, this past year, I feel like it could last forever. I mean, it's such a well-built machine, and it's so fast that, gosh, I don't know what else I would need.
People are genuinely saying now that they cannot imagine why you would need a faster computer than the ones that Apple is making right now.
It's right.
We have got to the point at which, for most purposes, the clock speed of most computers and the speed of most computers is good enough. And that it's not a short-sighted kind of, like, what's the Bill Gates quote, nobody will ever need more than 640 kilobytes of RAM. It's not like that. People genuinely do seem to believe that.
Yeah, I mean, the file sizes I'm using at work are definitely a lot smaller now compared to, say, 10 years ago, because everything's, you know, PDF now, and so everything's compressed. Before we were having, you know, big scanned images would be hundreds of megabytes big, and now the whole job is on one PDF and, you know, probably under 100 megabytes. So the file size is, you know, just not there. So you don't need all of these processing power in all of the time. Maybe if you're doing video or something like that, but for what I'm doing now, it's not like it was, say, 10 years ago.
So you probably feel that way with your MacBook Pro then. I mean, the 17-inch is a beautiful machine. You know, can you imagine getting anything better?
No, it's all I need. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I plug it in at work to a keyboard and another display, and then I take it away at home, and I've got it at home as well.
Yeah, I think we've hit like a ceiling. We've been at 3 gigahertz for a few years now, and I don't see us getting much faster than that. Think about when the Intel Macs came out to now. I mean, the speeds haven't increased all that much in, 4 years or whatever. Where it used to be, you know, that was the thing. How fast can we get to a gigahertz? How fast can we get to 2 gigahertz? And now it's like, well, we're at 3.
Yeah, because as you get to that point, energy usage just starts to go off the wall. It's like a saturation point.
And there goes your battery.
Yeah. Because the transistors actually atomic level, transistors that actually start leaking electrons. Because there's so much electricity going through them in order to power it. And so you have to put more electricity in, and it exponentiates.
And then you start to develop mutant superpowers with all those electrons leaking, and
it doesn't sound very green.
It's a mess.
right.
That too. Wasting energy. David, what do you think about getting into the news?
There is iPhone 4, which I can't remember if we were recording or not when you said you'd reserved one.
I did. I went to the Apple store closest to me, and I had $3 cash in hand, ready to buy one. And I talked to the Apple representative about, you know, what does it mean for my phone plan? Is it going to cost me any extra because of my contract? yada yada. And he said, no, everything is fine. You're just going to pay the $300 price for the high-end model, which is what, like 200 pounds or something like that?
That's the first time you got that right.
Yes. I'm learning. But anyway, I'm ready to buy this thing. And I said, all right, well, let's rock. Let's do this. And he says, well, we're out of iPhones. And so after getting kicked out of the store for raising such a fit, I had to be put on a reserve list. And so they put my name down and they put my email down. And so they would email me when an extra iPhone came in. So I got the email Thursday last week, but I thought about it, and I'm like, you know what? I might give it a month or so just for – I want to see if the white one comes out to see if they fixed anything. And so that's kind of what I'm waiting on. I want to wait for the white one to come out, and then I'm going to make the jump.
What do you think they're having trouble with making the white ones?
That's a great question. It's either got to be the glass,
the black ones. So you know, if they are low on supply, they're going to make what's in most demand, which by previous models has been the black one.
Yeah. Well, yeah, definitely. But I think it could either be that or the glass, or they want to do something about this antenna issue. You know, it could be any of those things.
I believe Apple that it's this. The code they're using for the bar meter as well. I believe them on that. Because I can imagine the sort of, you know, Gruber mentioned it in his translation post. You know, the situation is that they deliberately made the original iPhone look like it was getting more bars than other phones. And now that's come back and to haunt them. And it's
so what they're basically saying is when it's got full bars, they could potentially be in a bad area, a poor area, and it's displaying full, and then it drops all of a sudden.
Speaking of coverage, I am not getting an iPhone 4.
How about that, ladies and gentlemen? David Kendall is not buying an iPhone 4.
I'm sticking with the 3G. Because,
not even a 3GS. Not even a 3GS.
No. To be honest, the problem. I need to.
But your home button is gonna go.
I'll keep hammering it, and. But the thing is, I've decided. Excuse me, I'm gonna sneeze. No, okay. We'll wait for that to come. That I've decided to switch the 3G away from O2 because I'm just fed up of being, you know, led around by this contract. So I'm switching from contracts on with O2 to pay as you go with a small provider called GIFGAF, who they run on the O2 network, so you get exactly the same coverage as O2, which is great, because apart from a few times when I was in Scotland, in the middle of nowhere, their coverage, I've never been, not been able to get a signal. It's fantastic. But, for pay-as-you-go, GIFGAF are much better, give much better rates, and they have this kind of Web 2.0 crowdsource thing where they are run by essentially the consensus of the people who have SIMs, which is great because I'm also fed up with O2's customer service, which is crap.
Huh.
So that's...
What are you on, Damien?
I've got the same as David. I've got a 3G one. I'm out of contract. I'm on their or O2's Simplicity one, so it's like £20 a month. So if I buy an iPhone 4, I've basically got to go onto their contract again. That's right, yeah. So I think I probably will go for it, but I'm not rushing into it.
That's kind of how I feel too. I'm not in any rush.
I mean, it's just the fact that I've got.
Though I have noticed that.
Yeah, the add-ons we have, you know, they're perfectly good. This is the thing. We know as people who use old Macs that these old phones don't lose their value. Old devices don't lose their value when new phones and devices come out. Hello?
That's right, yeah.
My only disagreement with that is the new iOS 4. I found it kind of finicky with my iPhone. There are things that my iPhone is doing now that it never used to do. And it's a little bit slower in some areas, and it's become kind of frustrating.
Overall, on my 3G, it is a little bit slow in some areas, and much, much snappier in others.
Damien, have you upgraded iOS?
I have, yes. Yeah. Have you tried that double reset thing? Because some people were reporting a double hard reset cures a speed issue.
What's that all about?
I think you seem to be suggesting that if you just reboot your iPhone twice, it'll fix the speed issue.
But yeah, refreshes the cache or something like that.
But something about I'm not sure, but you know, performance.
I think it was on Call to Mac. They were saying that. I think it was reported on the Cult of Mac. They were saying they did a double reboot and it started to spring back into life again. I mean, mine was slow before.
I'll try anything. I'll give that a try.
Yeah, mine was slow before, so I haven't really seen much decrease, really. Yes.
Yeah.
And the display is astonishing. It really is just like a backlit printed page. I don't believe that Apple hasn't snuck a printer inside the iPhone and put a backlight behind the page, and that's actually the screen.
It just prints really fast. Anything else, David?
Well, we talked about it in the last episode, but we had to cut it. I got an extended keyboard too.
Yeah, like 4 months ago.
Not quite that long, but yeah, it was a while ago. I finally got one on eBay for a tenner, and the seller kindly threw in an Apple Desktop Bus Mouse 2 as well.
Oh, cool.
For free.
Now, you've taken it through the dishwasher.
Sorry?
You've taken it through the dishwasher now.
Oh, I've taken it through the dishwasher 3 times. No, that sounds joking, but I'm serious.
No, I believe you.
And I've done the Retrobrite thing on it, which is a whole other story. But that Retrobrite stuff, it's dangerous. I nearly burned my whole right hand with it.
Yeah, I got white specks on my hand the first time I did it, and then I wore rubber gloves the next time.
Yeah.
With all your Macs, Damien, you must have like a barrel of this stuff, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mix up a vat every now and then.
You just hose down your Macs. It seems like that Apple Extended 2 keyboard that was so yellow, you would have to dip it into a barrel of it and just let it sit there for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the original recipe, I think, was a dip. And then they added the Xanthium gum to it to make a gel or a non-drip gel.
Right.
So originally it was meant to be a dip.
I'll be darned. It's like, do you guys remember Who Framed Roger Rabbit with the dip, and where they dipped the little cartoon characters in there and they disappeared?
Yeah.
We don't want old Macs disappearing.
So I tried it under an old you know, in the realm of things we thought we'd never use, an old sunbed at first, and then when I think I activated some kind of safety timer on it, wherein you can't try and tan yourself too much. So, because you need to put it under a UV light, so I moved it outside because it was quite a sunny evening, and it did the rest of it out there.
Hmm. So solar power.
Hmm. You did yours in daylight as well, didn't you, Damien?
Yeah, mine was all outside. Yeah. I mean, I've tried it in sunny conditions and like on a shady day as well. And it's probably best in the sun, but you've got to watch out it doesn't dry out. Yeah. That's the only thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I kept putting it on, you know, about every half hour.
Hmm.
Yeah, I mean, if it's very sunny, you can almost see it changing. It changes so fast if it's very sunny.
Should do it like a time-lapse photography deal.
Yeah, it's a good idea, yeah.
It'd be fun. But anyway, David, you got this thing cleaned up. What are you using it for?
It's sitting in the bottom of the cupboard behind me at the moment. Because it's ADB, not USB. So there's an adapter on the way. Should be arriving tomorrow, in fact.
Did you get the iMate or whatever it is?
No, I didn't get the iMate. I was looking for one. They seem to be pretty rare, but Belkin makes... a very cheap one. The only disadvantage is that you can't daisy chain devices together. So you get two ports, and you have to, if you've got a keyboard and a mouse, you have to hang each of them off its own port. Which, you know, in the end, I decided it wasn't worth waiting for an iMate to turn up on eBay or whatever, and I just got the Belkin one.
And so you can't
tomorrow, an iMate will turn up on eBay. For 99 pence with free shipping.
Which is your luck, yes.
I did watch a brand new one go for on eBay for went for about £15 or something like that.
But so you can't plug in your mouse to your keyboard and have it have it go through there. Gotcha. So you haven't even able to use it?
No, I've just been, you know, keeping it in the bottom of the cupboard. That's not from tomorrow. If this shipping tracker is accurate, then it should be. I'll just refresh it in case something's happened.
Well, so you won't stare at it longingly anymore.
Hmm.
Now, mine's been fun. I've been plugging it into my PowerMac G3, the blue and white, which still has an ADB port on it.
Yeah, the last one they made with an ADB port.
Yeah. So it's been kind of fun.
They still used ADB internally on the laptops for the keyboards there and the mouse, the trackpad there. Until, like, the last generation of the last generation PowerPC books.
Hmm.
Well, there's no port, though, is there?
Right.
Mm.
So is your thing on the way?
Yeah, it's en route to delivery depot.
Oh, yeah. For those listening at home, David just sent us a CityLink tracker.
So anything else?
Any projects you're working on, Damien? Any new things coming up or new Macs you're working on?
I'm in between projects at the moment because most of my stuff is done in the loft and it's so hot up there at the moment because we're going for a bit of a hot spell here, so it's virtually unbearable to sit up there at the moment.
Right.
I have got a few in the pipeline.
It's been overcast every day.
Really?
Yeah.
We did have a bit of rain today, but it's still very warm up down here.
Yeah, us too. We've had 90 degrees Fahrenheit, which, you know, Celsius, that's probably 1,000 degrees or something, but it's been pretty hot. Yeah, it's 100 Celsius, that's the boiling point of water, right? That's how you... Yeah. Okay.
And
yes, so 90 Fahrenheit is 32 degrees Celsius.
We need to switch to your system. That's so much easier to remember.
Oh, yeah. Of course, you're on Fahrenheit, aren't you?
Yep.
I generally use imperial measures, but temperature, the Fahrenheit system is so backwards, and the freezing point seems so arbitrary. I can't even remember what it is. Is it 32?
Yeah, it's 32. Yep. On most days.
Hmm.
So. Well, so Damien's in between projects. I'm still trying to do the system seven thing.
7 days of thing going.
Man, it's going to be 7 months here pretty soon because it's just been one roadblock after another. Like, I can't get ClarisWorks to sync up with my Newtons. I lost a serial to USB adapter driver.
You still not found that.
Oh, gosh. So, lately what I've been doing is just playing old video games on my old Macs. So, that's...
I was playing Railroad Tycoon earlier.
Oh, yeah. I'm a Warcraft 2 guy.
Huh.
And Doom. Oh, I got Doom going again, so...
Oh.
Those have been taking up my
Macintosh
time.
Is that Macintosh Garden?
Yep. Yep, sure is.
Oh. I'll have to get that.
Yeah, it's great. It's a lot of fun.
It runs on iPhone as well.
Yep.
On the app.
But it's amazing when I look at those games that, you know, I thought that was pretty advanced for the time. This was the mid-90s. Mm. And now you look at it, and it's like, wow, what was I thinking?
How does this even qualify as a game?
Right.
Of course, Lemmings was ported to the iPhone recently before it was yanked off, wasn't it?
There's a name I haven't heard in a while.
Yeah. Yeah, someone put it up there, but Sony own it, apparently, so they've taken it down again.
Don't be darned. Well, they should put it back up.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Nintendo does this. I mean, they're putting all their classic games on the Wii for download.
One of the things I love about the Wii is how Nintendo have embraced their past. Not just in the virtual console thing, but also in things like, in games or... There are so many references to the older mm-hmm. games and modes where you can enable older ways.
Right. But it's pure profit for them. I mean, they just park the software on some server and you go and download it and they make money off of it. I mean, it's brilliant.
Yeah, there's a Commodore or a Sinclair emulator available, isn't there, I think, which has loads of games on it for the iPhone.
There was a Commodore emulator available, and it was yanked because the story basically is that they put it on the they submitted it with the basic interpreter, the basic programming language interpreter that was in the original Commodore ROM, and what they basically had was a licensing problem because Commodore, who they had licensed the ROM from, said they couldn't alter it. Apple said that they couldn't have the basic interpreter. So, it was one way or the other. So, in the end, they hid the basic interpreter. But somebody found out how to get it back up, and it was quickly pulled off. Which is...
That's too bad.
It's a shame.
I mean, I'd like to see a mini VMAC or something like that running on... iPhone.
You can get VMAC on a jailbreak iPhone.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Somebody's got to get Windows 95 going on one.
Oh, no, don't even start.
Watch the thing explode.
Hmm.
Boom.
I could try that, actually. I think I have a Windows 95 CD. I could try installing that in... Kemu, the emulator.
Right.
Thing.
Alright. Well, I think that's about it, don't you guys think? Damien, it's been great having you.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah. We'd love to have you anytime. Mm-hmm. You want to stop in and tell us about your latest conquest or trunk full of goodies?
Alright. Okay. One last thing before we go. What would you know? Dave and I talked about this just after we ended the last show. But what is This is something I think I want to ask all our guests in...
This is a good one, yeah.
You know, at the end of each show that we do with a guest. But what is the best Macintosh ever? Easy question, I don't know.
I would say probably the Mac Pro.
The current Mac Pro? The current Mac Pro?
Yeah.
That's an interesting choice. Why do you go for that one?
Why do you go for that one?
Just because it's so easy to upgrade, you know, you stick loads of memory in it, it's easy to upgrade the memory, put loads of PCI cards in it, but, you know, putting the hard disk in, it's just so easy.
So, there we have it. Damien Ward, best Mac ever is the Macintosh Pro.
And we kind of came to an agreement, David, you and I, that But I don't know. I'm still going to have to think about it, because we ended as...
Keep that under your hat. Keep that under your hat. We'll reveal that on the last show that we do, like, in this stretch of guests.
All right. And I still have to think about it still, so...
Okay.
All right. Well, it's been a great show, and we want to thank our guest, Damien Ward, for stopping in and chatting with us. Check out his collection over at his Flickr account, which we'll link to in the show notes, I'm sure. And, Damien, where can people find you besides Flickr? Do you get a blog going or anything?
No, that's about it. That's the only thing. I've been meaning to do something, but I never get around to it.
Right. Well, that keeps you busy enough.
Because they're very easy to set up.
I mean, I've always got my hands inside computers, so...
And you can find me, Dave Lawrence, at newtonpoetry.com.
And you can find me at dpk.org.uk. You can find the show for the website for this show at helloshow.net. Email us, podcast@helloshow.net, or PayPal donate at the same address.
And Twitter.
And Twitter. And Flickr. I finally remember to mention that. Because we've been talking about so much, we now have a Flickr group, and if there's anything we've talked about that you might want to, you know, put in there that might be related or relevant or whatever, just, you know, put it in, or and we'll take a look and maybe discuss it on the show.
All right, see ya.
Okay, bye.
Bye bye.